Welcome, good evening, good night, good day, whenever you listen to this. Let's introduce my guy here. You can introduce yourself. He goes by three names. Go ahead.
Well, my name's Jason Scott Davis, also known as Jason with a felony and Jason with a felonies, depending on whether or not the account's blocked on TikTok and around the other social media sites, Instagram and Facebook as well.
Awesome. Okay, so let's listen to your story. Tell them your story, maybe a little bit of your childhood, teen years, and then adult years, how old you are, what do you do, like what's your passion, what is love for you? You have a definition of love. Everybody does, right?
Right. I believe everyone does. I'm 48 years old. I live in a place called Hot Springs, Arkansas. Might be a little hillbillyish. I grew up with a great sense of a childhood. I was raised with a prominent family, hardworking middle class family that came from nothing. With a mom and dad that, this and I had, the typical family. We grew up poor. My mom was raised on whiskey still. My dad fought in Vietnam. Both of them didn't graduate high school. My
Hold
dad
on,
came
pause for a sec. What, your mom was raised where?
on a whiskey still.
Okay, the reason I ask, a lot of, like, I'm from Toronto, Canada. I don't have Arkansas. I don't know what a whiskey mill is. Like, that's why we have to. So this is the thing I say, is like everybody knows something that somebody else doesn't, right? Everyone's an expert in something. So like, explain, be a bit more in detail, because some of the people listening might not, never,
Oh,
they might be in China and they don't know anything going on in
I got you.
Arkansas,
I got you.
right?
I got you. So we'll start back from where. Well, get back to my mom was raised on a whiskey still. And what that
What's a
is,
whiskey still?
a whiskey still is where's it was my grandfather ran and bootleg moonshine. He made illegal liquor. And so my mother was raised on dirt room on a dirt floor in a shanty house. She wore all her clothes were made from feed sacks. They didn't have enough money. You only got one pair of shoes a year, and that was during the winter. And they would all gather around. My grandpa Roy, he didn't drink. He had a he he didn't he never even drank his alcohol, but he had a problem with women. And I think Mabel was his ninth wife when he found the one that he finally the
Hold
last
on,
one he
hold
found.
on. Let's ninth wife. How old was he by the time he had a ninth wife?
Roy was in his 80s.
Oh, okay. I'm like,
And
that's a
so, and
wife.
so
That's a wife like 10 years.
the man was history, okay? They would all gather on the floor, man, of a dirt room floor. And he'd come in with that liquor. And when he proofed liquor, he but he put in a bottle on him and you light it. And if it's got any alcohol in it, it'll shoot blue flames. And so they would do, he would do that. And they would ooh and ah. His children and of course my dad was raised in a little bit. He wasn't quite dirt poor, but he was poor. And then they got together and they had me and then I was born in 1974. And a good time to so my I started smoking weed. Typical. I probably think it was in eighth grade when I started smoking marijuana
Oh, you
and
started
drinking.
young.
Yeah, and all this kind of followed me throughout my life. We had some hiccups. I started boxing. My latter parts in 19 to 20. Finally, come up. A box. You'll see him on the internet, fought on HBO twice. We'd fought in the streets, and I did all right. When I got in the boxing ring for him that day, he taught me a lesson. I figured out I better find a new career. So we did that. And that took me on to, I started, and throughout this history, I would have these hiccups with the law, minor offenses. Like I've got 75 court appearances. If you look at my record, I sent you
How much?
75, I
Seven
think. Yeah,
court
75.
appearances.
Yeah, I think that's
Wow.
what the guy counted at. Minor stuff, and then one Memorial Day, I opened this restaurant called Jason's Burgers and More. I was 26 years old. My family had given me some money. They owned a building that another couple had started a restaurant in. And I've always loved to cook. And so it was a shoe-in. And we started this little place, and it was going pretty good. And they would come up and help me on the weekends or so. And of course, I was raising hell. And on a Memorial Day weekend, about the time the cops were looking at my office through the blinds, I was in there cutting up this ounce of cocaine with his cleaver. And so, of course, they knocked the door down, and that was my first big sign of trouble. And then when I wouldn't go to work with them, really stuck it to me. I got two Class Y felonies, which are nonviolent, which that's the problem with America and the felony deal. I can't just get an expungement. I got to get a pardon. And so, because I wouldn't work with them, that led to that. And then, so I went to prison. I got 12, did almost 3 calendars. I was real heavy when I went to prison.
3 years, okay.
3 years
nearly you went to prison.
Yeah, I was locked up for 3 years. And then got out on that, come out in shape, come back to the restaurant, went to work with him. And I was good for about a year and a half. Mm. And then I went back to using. And this time I went back, I found the true love of my life, which was methamphetamines.
Okay.
And so here's what I would do. I was a good looking guy. I had a lot of money.
You're still a good looking guy. Let's get that straight.
But thank you. And likewise, and I was, we like to call that handsome.
Yeah. We were handsome. We're not pretty. We don't do that stuff.
Yeah. You're handsome, Yeah. But,
thinks I'm handsome,
If you ever see somebody and they looking at a baby and they say, oh, ain't that pretty? That's what they're really saying. That's an ugly baby. I found this substance called methamphetamines, man. It made me feel like for the first time, I was who I was supposed to be. And what I would do is, I wouldn't show up for work. My mom and daddy would have to take over my business. I would show up when I wanted to, kind of a deal. And then, I lived this privileged life where my mom and dad enabled me because they love me. And that's not speaking negative of their character, but when we talk about addiction, we see that often, especially with kids that have something about themselves or they have some substance, their family has some substance.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the typical story of being raised in a gutter. Now, I was always a tough kid. I didn't put up with nobody's bullshit. I always had a sense of business. I wasn't afraid to sell drugs, much less sell hamburgers, much less sell,
You weren't scared of the work. You weren't scared of doing the work.
No. I think one year I won the Mathathon deal for the state. I had we donate to St. Jude's. We had to do like a workbook, and I think I made $2,700, and as a kid.
That's back in the day, though. That's a lot of money.
Man, back in the day, back in the day. They didn't have cell phones back in, So, we're moving along. I that continued on for a long time. Finally, out of frustration, they had found a buyer for the restaurant, and we sold it for $1.1 million. Because they retired. My mom and dad retired of working. I might be good. I might be good for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then I might go on a bender for a year, or I might be good for a year, 6 months, and go on a bender for 3 months, or hell, I might get halfway cocked. I mean, one time I bit a dude's ear off at the bar. I was just volatile, dude, and it was like the whole system at that time was like.
But you're inebriated though, right? You're inebriated when you did that.
Oh yeah. Sometimes I was just, I was never one to take any crap, if they didn't have my hands tied up, I would have bit his ear off. Let's get real. And so we sold the restaurant. The guy takes it over. He has it almost 2.5 years, pays about almost $500,000, and then he defaults the loan because we finance it and we get it back. I go to prison again. This time I get, I got 12 years for outrunning the police. That's a Class D felony. You can only get 6. But on my second time down, they made it habitual. And then a guy had thrown some dope out. It was on camera. That wasn't my dope.
What was it, though? What was it in particular? Just so that, someone listening.
Oh, it was methamphetamines. It was okay, all methamphetamine.
Yeah, just if someone's struggling with methamphetamines, they just understand, like, if they're going through it and they're listening to this, it's like, look, look at you. You're thriving right now. You're moving forward, even though, a lot of people think when they're in that place, like, that they can never get out of, like, that addiction. But, like, obviously, like, it's possible. Like, right now, I'm at CAM H, like, by CAM H, Center for Addiction and Mental Health. A lot of people that have come out, they've come out clean, right? So just to mention methamphetamine, that's what you
It was methamphetamines that we had manufactured. I mean, this was, this is no joke. This is like,
This is back in the day,
you know, and
what's that show called? Sorry to interrupt. There's a show that, but the guy cooks
Breaking,
up like,
Breaking
yeah,
Bad.
Breaking Bad. Yeah. I didn't know about it until I started watching it last year during COVID. I'm like, this guy's smart. So you guys were doing that back in.
In a fictional world, so we don't get in no trouble, okay?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking. Because this is in your imagination.
Let's just say it was not me, but somebody I knew, and so back in them days, that was how you did it. They would go buy cold pills, and then reduce down to this and that, and without giving away a whole bunch of stuff, and that's how you make your own methamphetamines, and then of course they instituted a law later on down the road that made you had to have a prescription to get cold medication. That's why, like in Canada.
Yes, they have a law around.
Well, for a long time, Americans would go to Canada and get pills and then come back over the border.
Yes. People that have lean or whatever, like they're not allowed to buy the cough syrup. Like they buy the cough syrup and mix it.
Yes.
Well, which is not good.
I don't know. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but it never was my gig, you know?
Yeah, it's not good.
I went back to store. I run the police. The guy threw out a pill bottle that had my name on it. I got charged for that. There was another incident in front of my house that they had the video of the person putting it in my truck. And they said, lo and behold, I got busted 4 times in 5 weeks. The last time I got busted, it was a clean bust. They pulled me over. I had 2 grand. I put the stuff in my underwear. They brought the dog out, and they done everything. They done everything they done, right? And the guy looks at me and he says, look, he says, the dog is keying. The dog's keying on the seat. He says, there's some dope somewhere in here. He said, we're going to search you one more time. And if we don't find it, we're going to let you go, Jason. Because I knew all of them. Hell, these are all local guys. I mean, hell, we've been playing cops and robbers for years. And it was this guy named Josh. Can't they? I mean, he's the kind of guy that you call tiny. He's like 6'7", 300 pounds, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he picked. And I'm a big dude. He picked me up. It shook me. And sure enough, I had shorts on. That dope just fell out of my pants pocket. I'm a shorts pocket. Hit the ground. He said, "Why didn't you tell me?" And I said, "Why would I tell you?" You know what I mean? What? And so, they put me in the back of the car, and because of all of it and all the stuff I'd done and hadn't got caught and just the whole deal, man. And they had really put up with a lot of my bullshit. They told me, they said, look, because my attorney went talk to them. They said, look, there is 2 or 3 of these charges you're going to beat. There's no doubt about it. But if you don't take this plea agreement, there's one charge that you're not going to beat. And I said, I agree. I'm not going to beat them. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to have a jury trial. We're not going to let you plea on this. And with my criminal record.
The jury is not going to like that.
Oh, they're gonna knock me out of the ballpark. And so at that time, I was really, really upset about it. I was, I was really pissed off. But later on down the road, man, I'm really grateful that's how it played out, because I took it was a total of 54 years, but they reduced it what we call concurrent. And so it basically boiled down to a 15-year sentence. I was habitual the second time I went down. And so I did almost 3 years on that again. And I'll tell you, I came out of that jail. I went to prison, and then I went to the 309 program, which allowed me to go to county jail. And I came out of that jail with 2 ounces of methamphetamines. We were still using in jail. And so I come home. My mom's like, you got some money. She gave me a lot of money. I try to reopen the restaurant, man. I totally drive it in the ground. Okay. I mean, like, totally. They put the tax signs out. They block it in, they tape it up. It's a total, it's total failure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go on using, and then I meet a girl, I get straight, and I'm straight for almost 10 months. And we decide, hey, I had like $45,000 left. I reinvested it, went in, redid the restaurant, man. We reopened. I'm sober. I still have a lot of character defects. Still pissed off all the time. And it's going great. People are going, hey, man, it's the best it's ever been. Because it was a really, really popular restaurant. I mean, I won a lot of awards.
Where was it? In Arkansas, right?
Yes, in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And so one day, you work 7 days a week. So we on Sundays, we close. And I would go, we might go to church, but we definitely took ourselves and the crew. We went and ate lunch at a little Mexican place called Lobo Gadita. And then have some beer.
Lobo Gadita, eh?
Yeah, man. We just got through eating there. We eat there every Sunday. It's cheap. It's great. It's hardcore. It's great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Me and my mom had lunch in there for $22 and I brought stuff home, you know?
For two people.
Two people. Yeah, two people, man. And that's where cheese dip, you know? And so...
With
cheese dip, bro. So it's just really good food. So we'd go do that, and so Monday I would do payroll. I'd catch everybody's payroll up, and of course the girl's name was Megan. She called me and she said, "I'm coming up there," and I said, "Good, I got to go to the doctor. I'm gonna get a shot of testosterone. We got to go by the accountants. You know, let's get a six pack of beer because I have my sous chef with me. We go do all that." They call me. They say, "Hey, it was like 2:18 in the evening." It was in July. It was like 103 degrees. Okay. No rain in sight. And they say, "You got a burglary alarm." And I said, "That's just impossible." So we're 8 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And when I turned the corner, that's when Jason's was on fire. It burnt right there. Everything burned up right there in front of me and everyone involved.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Let's reel this back to one of the main questions that I – okay, what would you say in your life – so you've been through drug addiction, jail, your restaurant. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the thing that you're most grateful for in your life that happened now? Because they say hindsight is 20/20, right? And you've learned a lot from all these experiences. What would you say is the thing your top three most things that you're grateful for? "Quote unquote, today, good or bad events, good or bad experiences you've had in your life."
Oh, I think without a doubt, number one is me getting clean, you know, and you can't really put a timeline on that outside of you can.
So here's the real question I want to ask.
Go ahead.
Would you actually change the experience of you being addicted?
Of course. I mean, I wish I could, but that's not possible. That wouldn't be part of the story.
Perfect.
You know,
exactly.
My life has changed so much today. I never thought I'd be speaking like I'm speaking. And I would sure in hell never thought that I would get daily messages from hundreds of people saying, "Hey, man, you know, what you're saying is impacting my life." And
you're helping them, right? Exactly. Yes.
Right. Well, I get messages, man. I break your heart. Like I get messages from people that are saying, "Hey, I've watched that video and I'm getting on an airplane and I'm about to hand this phone over to somebody. I'm going to rehab."
That's good.
You know, stuff that just like breaks your heart, you know, and all this past stuff that's happened, it's all war stories, you know, but it's kind of like, that's where I come from. And that's what happened. And so what am I grateful for? Number one, I'm grateful for what God has done in me, you know, and my ability to just have a relationship, because let's face it, I should have been dead a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And if anybody that's faced that situation, you say, well, I mean, cause we're not even getting to the ice. We're not even scratching the top of what's happened. Then that means there must be purpose, because something's kept me alive.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for my purpose. I'm grateful for being sober. I'm not sober. I have a drink occasionally. But listen, when your experience like mine with my addiction, when it kicks your ass, all right, and it keeps kicking your ass, and you're like, please don't hit me again. And it hits you again. The last thing in your life you'll do is ever go use. You know, that's the last thing in my life, you know, to think I want to go use some methamphetamine or dope, you know?
You were talking about last week on our call, right? When we were talking, we have a group call with our group every Saturday just to connect. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it. You're like, you know, so like short-term satisfaction is not like long-term.
No.
Right?
No.
It's like you'll feel good in the moment, but you never feel good after, right? Like after using, you feel good. And then after, it's like, it's going through the pain that actually makes you happier, right? If that makes sense. like doing hard things is what makes you
happier. But you definitely get a reward. You know,
you have pride. You have pride, and like you can take pride and be like, oh, I overcame this, or I did like a mile run or a 10 mile run or marathon or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be like this. I've always been this tough, tattooed, fist fighting, gangster kind of dude, you know. And but reality was I was this really soft, weak, immature, spoilt little baby, you know, because I couldn't handle nothing without any drugs, you know. And so once I got off the dope, and that happened the last time I relapsed with a full kilo. That was May the 20th of 2021. I went to jail 3 days later. Mm-hmm. On a domestic charge, and I went on a run, blah 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 blah. But I remember calling my attorney and him saying, "Do you think you can come in clean?"
And I thought, you're like, "Nope."
Why? I didn't know. I had been clean for a while, but when I relapsed big, man. And so, but I went and locked myself in a hotel room and I got clean, you know. And it felt like, man, I was like, man, I can't believe I just did this, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was a stepping stone, you know. But I tell you what, man, prison saved my life. And so somewhere in the top three, you gotta give credit to the whole judicial system that's really jacked up, but still has a great purpose, you know.
No, I'm with you, because it's like, it's like laws and stuff. It's kind of like, it's based on case laws, based on people's perception. So I think I said this on the podcast yesterday, on my podcast, like my individual one, just recorded it. I'm like, it's up to the judge to decide whether like you're like, say, for instance, you killed somebody, right? And your lawyer knows that you killed that person. It's called client privilege, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. They have to defend you and say you didn't, even though when they know. So like the system
exactly.
is not,
exactly.
It's all about like language. Who can talk the slickest and like prove something they know is not true, right?
Right. Yeah, we see that a lot. There's a big argument with drug convictions and sentencing times are often a lot more than say
it's not standardized.
Well, or say in comparison to a lot of people that get accused and then prosecuted for child abuse or, you know, sexual abuse. It seems like their charges are smaller in comparison to these dope crimes. Well, the reason
that's interesting.
It isn't the nature of everyone considers the child offense way more heinous.
Yeah, you get beat up in jail if they find out that's why you're there for.
Hey, they protect them nowadays, but you know, you can't even call them chomos no more. But the here's chomos, the theory.
Eh? I didn't hear that. That's a new phrase for me too.
That's we call it in a penitentiary, call them chomos. And so, but you know, they'll lock you in a hole for calling them.
Oh,
out,
I get it now. Chomos. Okay. Yeah. Okay, it rhymes. That rhymes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, here's the deal with that though. If I've got a strong part, it is not based on the crime or the punishment no more. It's based on the strength of the prosecution's case. If they got a strong case, you're going to get time. If they don't have a strong case, you're not going to get no time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't really matter about if it's a crime against humanity, as Andy says, you know what I mean? Because let's face it, there is no cure for messing with children, you know?
No, but that's,
you know, that's all I got. You know,
so for people that don't know, so I was watching a lot of YouTube last year and stuff. Like there are men that know they're like, they're attracted to children, so they stay away. Like people are conscious of that. So unfortunately, some people don't think it's wrong and they think it's normal because they're, you know, minor attracted children and all this weird stuff. No, none of that. That's not, those are just chomos that want to mess with kids, and we're not having that. We're not stupid.
No, and I think that, you know, right. I was assaulted as a child. I don't care it as I was done like a blow up doll, you know, for summer. Yeah. You know, I don't care it as a victim thing at all. But you know, I just don't listen. That's evil. That's evil. You know, and we need to claim it as evil. And even if you're not, you know, let's just say you're Bible thumping dude, you know, God commands you to stand up and defeat evil.
Against them. But okay, here, I want to play devil's advocate, okay? So I believe God is like a frequency. So some people that like believe in all this woke stuff and they believe in these ideologies, what if they're just praying to a different God, a different frequency that tells them that being a chomo is normal? And they're pushing that. Just playing the devil's advocate, right? Because I believe true intelligence is realizing, like, holding two competing beliefs at the same time and actually, like, believing in both sides. Because life is just perspective, right? I learned this from a guy named Tom Bilyeu. I'm not sure if you know Tom B. You probably know Tom Bilyeu. So he built Quest Nutrition and everything. But I want to mention, people, you should support this Instagram page. They have a website. It's called Gaze Against Groomers. So Gaze, J-A-Y-S, against groomers.com. Go on that site, because there's a lot of people that, like, are against, like, gay men started this, and they're against grooming children, because that's not, because these chomos, these pedophiles, I'm going to say it, I'm not scared to say the word, they're pedophiles, and they've implanted themselves in the gay community, right?
Yes, and they have.
Yes, so that's the issue. That's why these men, there's a great speech. I'll link it to this episode.
Please do, because there needs to be more of that.
Go ahead. A 31-year-old gentleman, he spoke to people, and he's like, I'm a 31-year-old gay man. I can't be having kids, like, do this. This is not what we're about, right? It's live and let live. Leave kids alone. Give us our freedom. And that's pretty much it. Do what you want in the bedroom. So this, I'll link it, but it was it was so logical. It's like, don't mess with kids and just leave us gay people alone. Don't insert yourself into our community. And, like, they can't say anything against it, but they're still pushing. That's the issue. But anyways, let's ruffle back. So you said you're not a victim, right?
No.
Okay. So mental fitness is radical acceptance, growth mindset. Those are the first two things. So you said earlier you have to radically accept something, the past, right? Remember how you said, like, you've gone through stuff, and a lot of people, you know, the cliche, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. You've transcended that and realized that you're like, oh, so, like, my past, I can't change it. So you've accepted it, and you take the lessons, like you said, like all these people that you're helping with your TikTok. So tell them your TikTok, just so that they can follow it. It's called Jason with a Felony, right?
Jason with a Felony, and Jason with a Felonies. Just depends on, I get a lot of trolls that block them. So, you know, we keep two going.
Okay. I'll link this in the show description. That's where you do most of your, like, content. So if you guys want knowledge and, like, wisdom that he's gained from going through his, like, quote unquote, the worst things in his life that are actually the best things in his life, because he learned so much, you can just follow him at Jason with a Felony on TikTok. I'll link it to the show description. But yeah, let's keep going. So what do you believe? So do you believe people are victims? And what do you think of, like, the growth mindset / like improving your life? What do you think about that?
I think people are victims. I think what's wrong is to keep on the victim mindset. You know what I mean? I mean, my daughter also was abused by her mother, who we had a child. She remarried a guy in Oklahoma, and there was this abuse thing, you know? And so, you know, I've watched my daughter struggle with it. And I've also struggled with the fact that, hey, what do you do if you're a dad? Well, you go kill the dude. Well, then you're not around, you know? And so I've had to go through the legal. I'm fighting the legal process of all this, you know, but watching my child, she played up until recently, she's blamed all her shortcomings on this incident, you know, playing the victim, you know, and then there's been some things that have happened recently that, you know, typical teenager stuff that now she don't want to prosecute, long story short. But the mindset's this. There came a point when I had to accept myself for who and what I was. There ain't shit I could do about the past, you know? And the greatest thing that I've learned is what we both learned is that, you know, this success equation really isn't, it's not difficult. It doesn't mean it ain't easy, but so you got hard work, you got consistency, and then you got this thing that hit me dead in the nuts just recently.
Yeah.
It's okay to make a mistake.
You're going to make a mistake. Always choose love. Sometimes you're not going to choose love. Sometimes you're going to eat that cookie. Sometimes you're not going to work out. Sometimes you might quote unquote relapse. But, like, if you're hard on yourself, you're going to stay down instead of being like, okay, I accept it. Now I can move forward. Because without radically accepting anything, like, if you don't accept that you're hungry, you're never going to go get food and you're going to stay hungry. Does that make sense?
Well, right. I mean, look at me. I don't have a problem eating though.
You're a cook, so that's the thing, right? But now you're in construction, so tell them about that aspect of it. Like, you're multifaceted, right?
I've been in construction. Well, I think Sebastian speaking. I got the last year, man. I bought some heavy equipment and thought I would, you know, I'd start this little construction company where I'd go dig holes and ponds and do some drainage. Yeah. I still do that. Well, Then, you know, then I didn't buy the right, I, you know, I had to have a CDL to because I bought too big of an excavator, you know.
Sorry,
I, you
know, so what's the CDL for people that don't, like, aren't aware of that?
Certified, it's a commercial driver's license, you know. And, okay. And so in America, I've got all the endorsements. I can drive explosives, missiles, nuclear waste, but I can't own a handgun.
It's kind of like, yeah, the rules are, it's just interesting to say that.
It's interesting. So, but yeah, and so I've got we've got a 20,000 pound excavator, backhoes, got a couple of gooseneck trailers, which are, you know, you don't know what a gooseneck is, you see one, and I've got a class 8 heavy semi, and we're looking to buy a dump trailer, and I do that on top of speaking on it, and then I got a vacation home. I got into doing an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So 20, you know, go ahead.
No, keep going. I'm listening. I just said it.
And so I got a vacation home. We do Airbnbs, and that's kind of kept up that income there has been able to offset the failures in my excavation business and, you know, equipment maintenance and, hey, you just broke a tire off the machine. That's $1,000, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's what's kept me alive right now. You know?
Yeah. That's the one thing, like, people don't understand, like, about entrepreneurship, like, the failure is what you need. If you don't fail, you're never gonna like get better.
Exactly. Or right? You're not trying. If you know, if you're not failing, you're not trying. You're just sitting in that zone.
Exactly.
Where, you know, and
some people are too scared to face their, like, for instance, to overcome like drug addiction or whatever. You have to actually face what's going on. Like, there's people don't do, like, you didn't do drugs for, like, you did it because there's something underlying. It's not, you're not looking at surface stuff. You want to go deeper. It's like, what's the cause? And go fix the cause versus dealing with the symptoms, right? Like, right now they push drugs, but the drugs deal with the symptoms. They don't deal with the trauma, the childhood abuse, the subconscious programming, all of that stuff, right? That's the issue right now with, like, even here at CAMH, they're drug peddlers.
Right. And they got a pill, like, for everything.
They got a pill for everything. And then that pill needs another pill for the side effects that it has. So it's double hurting you.
Listen, it's mine, but I'm going to tell you what cures addiction in my experience, and that's pain. You know what I mean? If you don't believe me, you know,
I believe you. Trust me.
I mean, I'm just saying to the general public, you know, if you didn't believe me, just cut the end off electric cord and go plug it in and then grab hold of it. Okay.
And don't do that. Okay. Listen, don't do that.
If you did that, okay, I guarantee you'd never do it again. All right. And that's kind of how that's what happened with me and my experience with drug addiction. It got to that point where, like, if I shot up, you know, if I shot some speed up, that it was like I was grabbing hold of the end of the electrical cord.
You could die at any point.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Because my life had become, you know, I had been so successful, man. I've been on the cover of magazines. I've done all this stuff.
Yes.
And at one point when I got ready to quit, I wouldn't even go to the grocery store because I was scared I might run into somebody that might know me. And I hadn't bathed in like 3 days and I hadn't brushed my teeth. And, yeah, I didn't have a haircut, you know, and I was afraid they might ask me, "Hey, what are you doing with yourself today?" The thought of it just scared the hell out of me, you know? And so for 2 years, I sat like I'm sitting here on a computer watching porn. Mm. That's all I did.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it was a deal like that. But, you know, you asked me about one of your questions was about mindset, you know, and what is the mindset? What does it take to have a mind? You know, there's a great fundamental program to recovery that you can apply to anything in your life, whether mm-hmm. it be weights, your weight, your food, gambling, whatever, you know, and that's the 12 steps. And the 12 steps is a great thing. Okay. But whenever I got a mentor that ran an Ironman. She's ran two of them. When she told me about self-discipline, and I thought, what is that?
Mm.
And I would have, you know, I've heard discipline all my life, and I've always thought this negative thing. But when I took the discipline that I've learned to love, mm-hmm. that I crave and I miss right now because, like, you know, my leg injury, my routine's off, you know, I'm kind of eating this junk. I'm having a drink here. I'm not doing 75 hard like I should be because, like, you know, my leg's kind of jacked.
Your legs hurt, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm in this kind of funk, you know, but 2 months ago before the surgery, man, I was hammering and I was the best version of me I've been ever since, you know, I mean, I can remember. And it was because I had a discipline. You know, I would get in the shower I turned the water on hot. Then I would turn it to cold and sit there. I done all that. I got in the mirror. I talked to the mirror day and day night. I did all that weird shit that people tell you to do that you don't believe will work. You know, and it works. And so mindset, when you set your mind to something, you know, it becomes discipline is the best thing you can ever, it is a blessing once you get it, you know?
Okay. So we talked about growth mindset. We talked about radical acceptance. Let's get into what do you consider like mindfulness / meditation? Like, what do you do for like to be mindful? And like, we've talked about what you're grateful for already. So mindful of gratitude and then mindfulness. What do you do to put yourself in the moment? And then what do you do in terms of like your meditation? Like you cook, like I know a lot of people that cook, like not a lot. I know like one girl that I used to work with. She's like, yeah, my meditation is like cooking. Like what puts you in the moment? Some people like to paint, draw, exercise. So you exercise, but like what's the other stuff that you do that's meditative?
I mean, I'm in the gym. I do all these things, like you said, but when I'm in the moment, man, I've got a 1-ton Ford pickup truck and the ECM doesn't work. So the radio don't come on. All right.
Yeah.
And so it means that I got to talk to myself a lot. I'll be driving down the road.
Yeah.
And I'll be talking to God. Or my version of God, you know?
Yeah.
That's when like I'm in the zone, you know, when I'm like
when you're in like a flow state.
Yeah, flow state or awareness, or you know, that's when I'm like, you know, man, I'm like, hey dude, I really appreciate you letting me live today. You know,
yeah.
You know, and so that's a real special moment. Man, of course, I do all the stuff that I got, you know, I've got the poster board. I made sure this year before New Year's I had a poster board up with something, and I made a big old I can't remember what you call them, board, you know, progress
board. Like a vision board.
Vision board. I made a big vision board. It didn't have a lot of material things on it. It had a lot of principles, like, you know, and leadership, and you know, and I made that, man. I did that silly thing that people say silly.
It's not silly.
But you know what I'm saying? When you start doing these things and people are looking at it, especially your old friends or your family, they're like,
what is this?
Why would you do that?
Because you get to see, like, if you people don't know, like, your reticulating activating system, if you see it, then when you're walking around, you're like, okay, like, oh, okay, there. Like, your mind is going to help you accomplish that goal. Say you're fit. You want to achieve your health goals. A lot of people. If you see it, be like, oh, okay, don't eat that cookie because that cookie's not going to lead me to this, right?
It's about, don't eat that vegetarian food, man.
Yeah, like, right now, they're like, oh, don't eat. They're saying don't eat meat and eat Kellogg's Frosted. Like the food pyramid's all backwards. Like, okay, eat fish, eat eggs, eat almond milk. Like they're saying not to eat that, but that stuff is healthy.
Yes. If it doesn't go bad, you know, if I heard a
eat
deal.
It.
I've heard,
it's natural. You know, it's natural if it doesn't go bad.
If it doesn't go bad, you don't need to eat it. If it does go bad, you need to eat it. And if it's made in a plant, don't eat it. But if it's from a plant, you can eat it, you know, and
Oh, hold on. You got to repeat those because those are key, I think, right there. Just repeat them slower.
I can't remember the first one I said.
Yeah, so you said if it's made in a plant or it's made by a plant, eat it, or from a plant.
If it's made in a plant, I heard this today. A woman said it. She said, if it's made in a plant, you don't eat it. But if it comes from a plant, you can eat it.
Like an apple, or like a coconut or something like that.
Or, you know, in my nature, when dog crap was big, the dog crap training deal, he was talking about level one foods that, like, you could eat anything that touched the ground. Like, so like rice, a cow, a lamb, but like cheese didn't touch the ground, you know, vegetable didn't touch the ground, you know? And so that's another way of looking at it too.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of cheese. I think cheese like sticks to you. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of cheese.
Right. Well, I mean, I agree. Yeah. I agree. You know, there's, I think there's better dairy products out there to eat, you know, if that's
what like having eat. Like, and if it comes from like a chicken, like eggs are good for you. They're a good source of protein, right? They're all, but right now they're like, oh, don't eat like eggs are so expensive.
Yeah, yes, right. Right. If you get a couple carton eggs, man, you can't got to do it like a dope dealer, you know.
It's so true, man. That's so true.
It's true.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So let's get to this question. Okay, if you could do anything for others, what would that be? Like, if you right now you're the God of your life in the universe. If you could do anything for other people, like, what would it be? Like, what is love for you? Like, what sets you like on fire? What's your definition of love?
Well, my definition of love is probably a little too long, baby. If I could do any, you know, if I was set up in my life where I was able to make choices and not worry about having to, you know, do financial, I would do what I've always heard. And I thought, this is the cheesiest statement in the world. I would help others.
And yeah, but in what way specifically?
I would continue to speak and talk about drugs and prison and alcohol and continue to do the things I'm doing. I'm really living this dream life, Shad. I mean, I'm really having this.
You're living it right now. You're literally living it right now.
Yes, I am. And it's just the beginning. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. And, you know, and I'm just a normal dude. I have no superpowers. You know, I don't, you know, I got, you know, I'm an average man. I don't have no 1 foot dick. I'm just a regular dude. You know what I mean? And I just had experience, and it's like, it's just powerful. It's a very powerful thing. I'm so blessed to be true. Yeah.
Okay. So for what would you say your one piece of advice for quote unquote kids under 25? Cause you're 52, right?
48.
Okay. So
yeah. You got close.
What would you say for, I was close. 1979, I forgot. 74. Yeah, you're 12 years older than me. Okay, so what would be the piece of advice for children that are 25 and under? Because I think they have no perspective, so they don't know anything. We still don't know anything. We got a lot to learn. We know that.
Yes, but what would
you say, like, what would your top piece of advice be for them? We're going to have one more question after this, but that's like, what would your top piece of advice for them to live a happy life.
Kids under 25, it's absolutely don't need no drugs. And nowadays, you know, back when we were growing up in school, you know, if you had an exam, you could say, well, you know, Johnny's got a couple of them pills. You can go by and get a pill and, you know, you do the pill and you study. It wouldn't be no big deal. But nowadays you get on TikTok and they're pushing these pills. And like what the experience me and Benjamin were talking about, this girl orders one. She's smart enough to only take half of it. Okay. And it still kills her dad in her doornail. You know, and so the drug thing is deeper than what we really want to acknowledge. It is part of the conspiracy theory to control populations and devise countries of freedom. You know what I mean? Because the majority of the, you know,
people don't know. People don't know. I don't need to interrupt, but people don't know that like the CIA actually brought drugs into the inner cities in Chicago and New York and all that. They did it on purpose.
And now, right now, China is the main producer of all these fentanyl, and everything, man. And so it's all coming from them, and we are allowing it through our border at the southern end. 90% of the drugs coming to the United States coming through that end, and then it's filtering up to y'all. It's coming up, it's coming up to, and it's going right across
coming up to Canada. Yep,
it's the Rainbow Bridge, you know, all that area. I mean, and so it's if we get ever because there's so much money involved.
Yeah, that's the issue.
If we ever do what's right, man, we could save a lot of lives, and we could save the culture of America and Canada, and that's important. You know, we're losing the culture of who we are.
Yeah, a lot of people like we're all multicultural. We're all from different parts of the world, but we're like, we have one like culture where like we know right is right, right? Mm, like right. You know, instinctually, like a kid knows like. They don't have to be told what's right and wrong. Whatever they feel, like if they feel bad, it's not right. If they feel good about doing it, like helping other people, then it's right. So like, I think everybody around the world has that. That's why now with all this woke stuff going on, we're like, it just doesn't feel right. So yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't, you know, a lot of people, I get this a lot because, you know, of my past life experiences, a lot of people, and I've seen this in prison, a lot of men, especially young men, confuse sexuality with masculinity. And what happens is in prison, these men come into prison, these young boys or whatever, and they see a prison punk, which is a guy that thinks, that is definitely gay and does this thing, and may wear some Skittles makeup. And these guys will go up and they'll challenge him or talk shit to him. And then here's what exactly happens. The next time you see them, they're laying on the floor, like stabbed full of holes, and that punk's done killed them.
Yeah, because they think because he's gay, he doesn't. You can't like they basically fucked around and they found out.
And it happens every day in the penitentiaries across America, and the lesson there is that as society, we've got to understand that some people want to have sex the way they want to have sex. As long as it ain't a kid, who gives a fuck? And I don't want you telling my kid how to have sex at any age in the educational system at all. You know, but that's not masculinity. Because I know some gay people that'll beat the hell out of you.
Yeah.
And so I get hit on a lot by men and on TikTok. You know, I don't know how to really take it. I just try to be respectful.
Yeah.
And in my faith, I let God handle that. I'm not even going to judge on that.
Yeah,
my
yeah. daughter
wants to be gay. You know, so be it. If she wants to be gay, I don't care how you have sex. I just want you to be happy. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want you fucking with kids. Fuck all that. You know?
Yeah. I think that's universal. Universal for most people. Like 99. Okay. So I think there's 4%. These numbers are probably just guessing. I'm trying to remember what the numbers are, but I think they're 4 or 5% like of the population is actually gay. So like 80% of people believe like just leave kids alone and do whatever the hell you want. So it's interesting how they're pushing now. Like Dave Chappelle said it. He's like, how did the LGBT community make so much progress in 100 years versus like the Black community that have been asking for these rights for the last 100 years? There's a reason, but we're not going to get into that right now.
But okay, they're a very loud minority. You know, they are very vocal. The LGBTQ too, or have you said, I apologize for being disrespectful. They're very persistent. And I'm like you, there's a lot of pedophiles that have found a home hiding in that.
Yes. So gazeagainstgroomers.com. Go to that, please, support them.
And God bless those people, man. I hope they knock a home run.
So I think that's important. But one thing that I want to ask you is like for the next person on, because I think we're all kind of like curious about what other people think. What question do you have for them? Like, what question do you have right now? I have a question, but I don't have it with me right now. What question do you have for that person?
What is your idea and visualization of true freedom?
What is your idea of true freedom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're losing it, you know, and we don't even know it. You know, we're in America and in Canada and all abroad with technology. You know, we haven't conquered. Technology's just really captivated us, and it's way ahead of us. You know, and we're losing the human element a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I'm afraid that we're losing our version of what really freedom is. And and freedom should be definitely, man, you know, sexual, your faith, all that good stuff. But you know, we're losing our freedom to think. You know, we can't even, at some point in our view, we can't even stand against the things we disagree with because someone finds offense to it, and then we're penalized or put in jail or whatever else. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, I'll ask that next person that question. Okay, awesome. So I guess let's just repeat. Where can they find you? Where do you do most of like your education / your content? Where can they find you?
Oh, you can catch me at TikTok, man. Jason with a Felony or Jason with the Felonies, or on Instagram at the same deal. On Facebook, it's my personal name. Of course, if you search it, it's going to come up. My name is Jason Scott Davis. My website is jasonsdavisconstruction.com. We've trademarked that the phrase fluid English. That's how a lot of people know me, fluid English. And we're getting a website together. And of course, hopefully going to put some merchandise together for t-shirts and donate some of that money to a charity that's reputable. You know, we want to follow through with what we learned in Arte about that. And push that. You know, the problem is print on demand is not very profitable in the first start.
So I guess
we may need to get,
if anybody's listening to this and they like have a printing on demand business or whatever, you're looking for somewhere where you can get it printed, right?
That has some of the products that we're wanting, you know. But I'm interested in I'll talk to anybody, you know, and that's got anybody that's decent people. You know, if you're a shithead, stay away from me. You know, I don't want to deal with shitheads. You know, but you know what I mean. And of course, you know. That's the main way you find me. And I'm in Hot Springs, Arkansas. If you're coming to Hot Springs, Arkansas,
go say what up.
You won't miss me. Yeah, you won't miss me.
Okay, there you got 1.2 million likes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just gonna
it's since October.
That's good. Go follow him on TikTok. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for coming on. And this is gonna be released, I guess, tomorrow. 7 a.m. Eastern time, I guess January 30th. So we'll release it tomorrow. Thank you for being on. Hopefully people got value. If you're interested, connect with him. We'll go from there.
Shad, man, I appreciate it, man. I love you, man. Thanks, man. God bless you. All right.
Thanks for being on. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. And remember to always choose love.
She's a love.